If you have your You all see this thing? You out there in TV land see this thing? Its life on this earth is short. It can be replaced. If you have your Bible with you, we'll turn to Psalm chapter 8 or a Bible app on your phone. We'll kind of be spending some time there this morning. When I go in the forest, I like to spend time in the forest, out in wilderness areas or semi-wilderness areas. Like to hunt and hike and do those kind of things. And there are three types of navigation, or four really ways to navigate. But of course, if you can see a mountain or some kind of landmark, then you can use that for navigation. Then there's a GPS. I have a GPS that I use, and a map and a compass. If you think I'm a little cautious, yeah. And now on my iPhone, I have Onyx Map navigation system. Years ago, my friend Tom Asher and I were camped at Moss Springs in the Eagle Cap Wilderness, and I hiked out a ridge. And it was a real rainy day and really foggy. The ridge dropped off on both sides, but it was wide and it was pretty flat. And I had my GPS and I turned it on. And guess what? The satellites were hidden in the fog somewhere. And the GPS didn't work. And I scratched my head because I could see about from here to the back of this room. And it was a bit disorienting. But I had the map and compass, and I got the map out and the compass and figured out and found my way back to camp. This last fall, I was camping with our oldest son, Brian, and we were camped on a flat with off of both sides. And I had something happen that I've not had happen prior to that. I walked out from camp only about 20 or 30 yards, and for a reason that you might walk out from camp 20 or 30 yards, and I didn't take any of my navigation stuff because I was just going to walk out from camp and walk back, and I was disoriented. And I wandered around for a long time trying to figure where camp was. And I think there were reasons for that. I'd had a issue, a brain issue, a couple months prior. But that was kind of frightening, you know. So now every time I leave, I take all my stuff with me. What are you taking your hunting pack for? I'll be back. Don't worry about it. But being disoriented, you know, can be trouble. Of course, a search and rescue. I know you can't read that, so I'll read it to you. If you are lost in the woods, remember to stop. Sit down. Think about how screwed you are. Open your hands and cry into them. And prepare for a long, painful death. No, I think I got the wrong one. I think I got the wrong one there. Actually, it says stop. When you get disoriented, just stop and think and observe and plan. Just trying to slow up a little bit and reorient, right? Not just run off in every direction at once. Well, these are disorienting times that we live in. For a lot of folks, what do we do? And I'm thinking about, I had three different sermons this week, and I'm not going to preach them all. I said, you know what, I want to do something really so basic that most of you will be like, really? But I think this is worth thinking about. Be still. In the midst of our world that changes by the day, and there are voices coming from everywhere, and every voice is right in their own mind, and every voice has an agenda, and every voice has an opinion, it can be really confusing. It can be really confusing. It can be frightening, or frustrating, or angering, or be still, but not just to be still, not just to stop. It says, know that I am God. I mean, one of the ways to orient is to find some landmark that you can focus on, that you can travel toward. And in all the directions that we might be pulled, I think the psalmist from the 46th Psalm, where the mountains were falling into the ocean and all of that, that's a lot of upheaval. Be still and know that I am God. And there are a lot of places, a lot of texts we could look at. I mean, throughout the Bible, that message is supported. I chose Psalm chapter 8. And I just want to think about a couple things from Psalm chapter 8. Psalm was written actually for musicians, according to Gittith, which I think is a musical term, but I don't really know. I put it up there just so you know that I have an answer to every question. And one of my answers is, I have a clue. David wrote this psalm. And he gives us four verses of perspective and four verses of purpose. And they are so simple that sometimes we might throw them out because they aren't definitive enough. They're kind of broad-ranging. The psalm begins and ends, verse 1 and verse 8, with the recognizing God as God. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. How majestic is your name, God? And he goes on and says, you have set your glory in the heavens. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created. That's what it says, in the beginning God created. So we look at everything around and say, wow, maybe this thing's bigger than I am. I think the sound people are doing this to me, by the way. They won't own up. I accused them of that last week. Because, you know, in our culture, nothing is my fault. So it's got to be. See, Tony's not even back there. She's doing it. She's doing it remote. She's got a remote and she's doing that. So. Romans chapter 1, 19. Paul wrote, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them, talking about all people, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Arms of science tell us that they have proved by studying the creation that there isn't a God. Other arms of science study the creation and say, absolutely, there is a God. That's where I am. That's where I am. Science has definitely proven there is a God. And sometimes, and I think we have to consider this, we have to be careful and think about what assumption do I start with. And of course, that can go both ways. But, and then there's this verse in Psalm 8, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger, which doesn't really fit with the perspective that I'm talking about, except for one thing. And I looked up that and tried to figure out what folks were saying about that verse. I'm not sure, but here's an idea. It says, through the praise of children and infants, I think the way that the devil and anyone who is anti-God is thwarted is when people praise God. Thwarted in what way? Well, all of those things lose power over me or you when you say, I'm going to focus on God. All of the voices that might pull me lose power over me when I say, I'm going to listen to God's voice. Something to think about. When I consider the heavens, David wrote, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. It's a matter of perspective there. You see, we have this tendency in our culture, and it's always been something that the human beings have fallen into, to think that we are equal with God, or maybe even above God. Romans chapter 1, 18th verse and following says, people gave up worshiping God and began to worship the creation, worship themselves. And so God is either doesn't exist or he's convenient when I need him, but I think I will do my own thinking or I can take care of it myself. What is man that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. If we put ourselves up alongside God, I remember one of my nephews came home from Sunday school and told his mom, he said, my Sunday school teacher lied to me. And his mom said, she lied to you? He said, yes, she lied to me. And he said, well, what did she say? He said, she said, Jesus lives in my heart. And that is not the truth. And she said, well, why do you think that isn't the truth? He said, because I'm only this tall and Jesus is this tall. So Jesus can't possibly live in my heart. I mentioned this movie last week, one of Georgia and I's favorite movies, The Same River Twice, about four boatsmen who were river guides when they were young and then came back for a reunion trip. And there are a lot of statements that I think are important statements in that trip. One of the statements that they make in visiting with each other, at night, the boatsmen don't sleep in tents, they sleep on a tarp on the river. And one night they were on a tarp on the river, and one of the other people on the trip had been invited to sleep on the tarp, which was kind of an honored thing. And he said, do you believe there's a God? He was looking at the stars, and they said, yeah. And he says, is this it? You know, and you know what the stars are like if you're in the mountains and all the city lights, it's just like, whoa. He says, you think, is that it? He said, in recovery, they said, higher power, is that it? And his uncle said, Nate, long time ago I was out with my dad in a similar situation, and this is what my dad said when I asked him that question. He said, wonder at the creation, worship the Creator. And I'm just talking about perspective today, things for us to think about. Everything I see is amazing. When I look at you, you are amazing. There's a couple here who are going to have a grandchild any day. And that new grandchild, I mean, what is more amazing than a baby? And what, if you really think about what happens in 9 months for a cell to become a human being, that's flat amazing. And we should wonder at those things, but worship the Creator. That's what this psalmist is saying. And then in this psalm, it talks about some purpose. Well, this is not a specific purpose. A lot of ways to live this out, and there are other purposes to live out that the Bible talks about. But in 5 through 8, so you have made them a little lower than the angels. Who is man, really? Who is man that you are think of him? And in one sense, in perspective with God, we're just like pretty small, pretty insignificant in a sense, but in another sense, very significant. The psalmist says, you have made them, human beings, a little lower than the angels. Now think about that. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we have the angels, and we have us. In all of creation, consider the perspective of all creation. Think about what your and my place are. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the three in one, and the angels, and us. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. This is what the psalmist says. We're going to take a look at Genesis in a minute and see the same statement from God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the angels, us, and the rest of creation. There is a sense that sometimes wants to say we are equal with all of creation. And in a sense that might be true, but in this sense, as far as purpose or role, said, God has made us rulers over the works of his hands, over all of his creation. You put everything under their feet. God put everything under our feet. That's what it says. Flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas, animals and reptiles. And then listen to this next statement. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Think about that. God created, and he took the man and he put him in the garden, in the creation, and he said, you are the caretaker. You are the caretaker. God has made us caretakers of his creation, including caring for each other. caretakers of his creation. And it says, the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden. And so what I, in my simple way of thinking, understand from that is that this earth the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the angels, us, and the creation. I am a caretaker of the creation, my part, and the creation will take care of me. I mean, those who garden, I don't happen to be a... I tried gardening once. I grew some... what were those peppers called? Jalapenos. Yeah, I grew some jalapenos. I gardened once or twice, grew some jalapenos. And I either didn't water them enough or watered them too much. We quit. That's what we did. See, at least she took some. She didn't just throw me out there. We quit watering them, but I think it might have been I have to take the credit. And we had some nice jalapenos. And then Georgia made some... chili and put some of those jalapenos in it. Yeah, not very much jalapeno. There wasn't enough water in Western Oregon to put out that fire, I'll tell you. So I'm not much of a gardener, But there's this idea. So do we have purpose? Yeah. Overall, as human beings, and each of us are one of those. Caretakers. Now that's a really broad statement. But it starts right here with whatever I'm doing now or you're doing now and whatever we're going to do. And the creation includes people. It's thought-provoking. How do I live out my life as a caretaker? And then, as I'm a caretaker, the creation will take care of me. Then he said, there are some parameters. God has some parameters. He gave Adam and Eve some parameters. You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Throughout God's word, there are some parameters. I mean, in marriage, God gave us the ability to have physical relationship. But God gave us parameters for that. God has parameters. So think about his parameters as part of our overall caretaking. Then he says, for when you eat of it, you will certainly die. What does that mean, spiritual death? That means when we say, God, I know that's your idea. I know that's how you feel, but I really don't agree. And I think I'll do it my way. And God says, okay. When you go home today, read Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, and watch how people said, sorry, God, we'll do it our way, and God said, go ahead. We can walk away and do it our own way, and God lets us do that. Eventually, there are consequences. That's what the Bible says. That's what it seems to me. The Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone, I will make a helper suitable for him. A helper suitable for him. Oh, that's the other piece. In Georgia and I's wedding ceremony, the fellow who wrote the ceremony put this in, and I was actually in the Navy out floating around in the ocean, and Georgia looked at this and really liked it, and I like it. I like it too. Thank you so much for the 17th... we've been here last week, 17 years. That's pretty cool. And they had a little deal after church. And they brought Oregon State chairs for us to sit in. Some of you who are new here won't understand the significance of that. But the rest of you need to know there won't be an 18th. Just saying, I only take so much, you know. And you know we're kidding about that. But in our ceremony, this is what it said. God took a rib and made a helper. This won't be exact wording. A helper for the man. And he made her from a rib, not from his head that he should rule over her, and not from his feet that he should trample her under, but from his rib that they should work side by side. Is that right? Is that close? Well, I mean, it's been 49 years, 10 months, and 6 days. So I think that's not bad. It's not bad. What did I say? I said 48 years.
No. She said 49.
Let's move on here. I'm holding the clicker. I'll tell you, that's close to having the remote. But God, that was the relationship God intended. A working together relationship. A mutual caring for and helping and respecting and honoring relationship. And I better move on. This psalm closes, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I hope this is helpful to you. It's not, you know, I had two sermons that were going to deal with nitty-gritty and what's going on, how we should do and what we should do, but I thought, you know what, for me, this week I've had to back away. I've had to shut off Facebook and limit news. Not because I don't want to know what's going on, but I had to clear my head. I had to clear my head. I had to say, okay, God, let me focus on you. And then out of that, I can figure out how to respond the way you want me to respond. Because after a while, I start responding in ways that may not be what God would want. So I encourage us, be still. Let God be God. And then let Him guide and shape our lives. We're going to sing Amazing Grace.